Civil society in Africa is worried about recent developments that seem to indicate that there's some backtracking in terms of the political support for the court. And we believe that the statement that was issued in Sirte by the African Union heads of state summit not only undermines the International Criminal Court, but an undermining of the rule of law in Africa. Clearly, the 30 African states parties have international treaty obligations to comply with the International Criminal Court. And so the AU, in making the political statement, essentially is calling on African Union member states not to comply with their international treaty obligations. That, to us, is something which civil society needs to speak out on, because ultimately, if African leaders are not going to take sides with the victims of these crimes, it's important for civil society to do so. African civil society was instrumental in the development of the International Criminal Court, and we believe that now is a good time for us to pressurize our governments to adhere to the international law obligations under the Rome Statute.
Do you foresee that President Bashir will meet arrest fairly soon, and what is it going to take to carry out Thursday's appeal?
I think we've seen some promising signs from important African countries. We've seen Uganda, Botswana, and South Africa saying that they will cooperate with the court. South Africa coming out today saying that they will, in fact, comply with their domestic legal obligations to arrest President al-Bashir if he had to travel to South Africa. We think it's encouraging that these countries have made these statements. We're hoping that more countries will follow and be quite explicit in their commitment to the court. And we do believe that this will ultimately put more and more pressure on the African Union, on African countries, to delegitimize President Omar al-Bashir to the point where eventually there will be a groundswell of support, where it will become difficult for him to travel freely, not only within Africa, but also beyond Africa. Ultimately, all of this contributes towards the international effort to bring him to justice, or at least to bring him before a court to have his day before the International Court.
What do you see as the next step to be taken by the countries that made the AU statement? How do you think they will respond to your appeal?
I believe that the fact that 135 African civil society organizations have been able to mobilize as quickly as they have on this issue demonstrates that although certain African leaders might be making statements or endorsing statements that are made in Sirte, that is not necessarily the widespread feeling in Africa. There are many people in Africa that do support the court, that are committed to ending impunity. I think the more we can remind our governments that we know what's going on, that we're committed to this process, and that ultimately they should be committed to this process because of certain legal obligations or because of their national constitutions, or whatever mechanisms various states, parties, civil society can use to place pressure on their governments, we believe that that will ultimately contribute towards a broader culture of accountability in Africa, as opposed to the culture that some leaders would like to see, and rather a culture of impunity. And we think together, civil society acting together with the international community can place very, very useful pressure on these governments to do just that.
You mentioned that 30 African countries are now parties to endorsing the Rome Statute for the court, and many of them have backed it since the beginning in 2002. What percentage of the African countries is this, and is it a significant enough number to give the court the clout that it needs?
The International Criminal Court currently has 109 states parties, and of those 109, 30 of them are African. So it is a significant block of the member states of the court. And if you look in Africa, you know, Africa has 53 countries in it, so it's well over half of African countries have voluntarily signed up to be parties to the Rome Statute, and that indicates a significant political support for the court in 1998 when the statute was drafted, and over time since 1998. So I think that's quite a significant indication of Africa's involvement in the court.
There are a lot of situations within countries or involving particular issues, such as the way to prosecute members of the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda, or the prosecution of the perpetrators of the post-election violence in Kenya, where the people in charge of the government or groups in the country have not been able to decide whether to let the court do the prosecution or come up with a local system of meting out justice. What is the guideline as far as the appeal that the human rights groups and civil society groups are making?
Well, we recognize that the International Criminal Court remains a crucial court of last resort for Africa, where national courts are either unwilling or unable to bring justice to perpetrators of those core international crimes, genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. And the principle of the ICC, or the way in which the ICC operates, is on the basis of complementarity, which means that national or legitimate national criminal justice processes will take precedence. And it's only in a situation where those courts do not have the capacity or there's not the political will to prosecute those perpetrators in a domestic court that the International Criminal Court steps in. So we encourage domestic processes, but we do want them to be legitimate ones, not to be political compromises. And we recognize that the ICC is essentially a court of last resort that can support domestic and sometimes even regional justice mechanisms in relation to these crimes.
And do you see any progress in local issues like in Kenya? Do you think that they are any closer to turning this over to the International Criminal Court?
We think that legitimate domestic processes should always be followed first. And we believe what's happening in Kenya now is part of a broader truth, justice, and reconciliation process, which the government needs to take hold of, the government needs to lead with. And we hope that the political will is there to see this process through. But as you know, Kofi Annan has handed that envelope over to the prosecutor, who is waiting in the background, making sure, monitoring the situation very closely. And if the situation does become politically untenable for the prosecution of these cases to go forward, then you always have the safety net of the ICC. So we think the process in Kenya is actually a very good example of how domestic and international criminal processes or criminal options can actually work together.
Are there any situations that you can think of in the Democratic Republic of Congo where this appeal has particular meaning today?
Well, the DRC is one of those governments that actually has cooperated very well with the International Criminal Court. Obviously, there are one or two situations where the country perhaps could cooperate better, but the DRC has actually been one of the most proactive countries in terms of the cooperation with the court. So we're hoping that in relation to those particular cases where I'm sure some DRC civil society groups would like to see more action and more cooperation, we're hoping that this will also be a mechanism to add additional pressure onto the DRC government to do just that.